So this is a continuation. A little bit hot. Do you feel hot?
No.
Yeah, everybody feels a little hot. It's not the music either. Okay. This is a continuation of a talk we've been giving in Tibetan. It's called Dangzin Shangdep. That's a long story. It's an argument that's taking place in one person's mind. So inside of one person's brain, the good side is fighting with the bad side. And they've been having a discussion for, 60, 70 verses now. This is one of the most famous pieces of literature from Tibet. I don't think it's ever been translated. And it's in poetry. And it's by the first Panchen Lama. So he lived in the 1500s. And in Tibet, the Panchen Lama alternates with the Dalai Lama. So typically when the Dalai Lama gets old, the Panchen Lama is young. And then when between Dalai Lamas, the Panchen Lama will sort of run the country. So this text was written by His Holiness the first Panchen Lama. Tonight, he's getting into the meaning of illusion, okay? So, or Maya in Sanskrit. In Tibetan, it's called Gyuma. And you hear a lot about that illusion stuff, you know? Like, I heard a lot about it before I went to study with Tibetans. And when I was in college, people were talking about illusion and everything's an illusion. And then it didn't make much sense to me. I figure if a taxi cab can hit you and break your leg, then it doesn't matter if it's an illusion. You see what I mean? No, I just didn't. It didn't click with me, you know. People say everything's an illusion, but it seemed pretty real to me. You know, I eat, I drink, I play bass. It doesn't seem like illusory to me. I didn't really understand what they're talking about, illusory. And it took a long time for me to get it, okay? Everything around us is an illusion. But if you understand that, you can make stuff happen in your life, okay? Everything is an illusion, but if you understand it, then you can make things happen in your life, you know? And we go around the world. We're going to Moscow next week. It's 2 weeks. And I think on the way there, we're stopping in Zurich and New York, and then we just got back from China, Beijing and Shanghai, and it doesn't matter where you go in the world. Basically, people want the same things, right? People would like to have financial security. I like to call it oxygen money. Like, you just breathe and it's there, you know? And we tend to struggle with our credit cards and worry about money. And what I call oxygen money is if you could understand the illusion that we live in, you could adjust it. Okay? So that's what we're going to talk about. For 2 days, we're going to talk about how do you adjust. What does it mean that the world is an illusion? And how could you adjust it? And I say you could make oxygen money. Okay? I have oxygen money. I helped to start a company. Now it's $250 million. What's his name? Warren Buffett bought it a couple of years ago. And that was done by understanding illusion, okay? By understanding the illusion. So it's something you can use, okay? It's not that everything's illusion and it doesn't matter anymore. And if you understand how it works, you can tweak it and you can change things. I used to have bad foot, like a very handicapped foot, couldn't walk much. Now I do ballet, okay? I started at 50. And last year I picked up the girl, you know. And that was hard. But the trick is you have to find a skinny one. So it's fixed and it changed. And you can make adjustments. A lot of people ask me about partners. If you understand how things are an illusion, then you can find a nice partner or you can tweak your current partner. You can upgrade them. You know? So I'm not kidding, okay? And you can, basically, if you understand the illusion, then you can you can make adjustments to it, and then you can have whatever you want, you know. I think in the end, all of us want peace in the world. We would like to have peace in our own minds, and that's also just a matter of tweaking. So if you understand the illusion, we're going to talk for 2 days about illusion, and if you understand it, you can adjust it, and then you can have anything you want, all right? So it's not just some 16th century Tibetan poem. We can use it for our own lives, all right? So let's go. You ready? I think you have it in your playbill. It starts on page 32. I'm going to read you the Tibetan so you'll be impressed and believe what I say for the rest of the night. So here, you don't even know if I'm saying it. Tingzin dele langbe je, sem ni tombe me long la, kunzob namwe sub nyan char, nang tsam mato temepe, tenzin tepe yu medo. So the important word here is, he says, and in the aftermath, after a person comes out of this meditation, the reflection of all those things which aren't what they appear to be, appears once more within the mirror of this emptiness of the mind as it is. Apart from their appearance, they don't exist at all. There is no land where the tendency to think that things are themselves could ever make its home. The first line here, verse 70, the first line says, in the aftermath. Okay, aftermath is called Jetho Byeshi in Tibetan. It's a very important idea. It means in a monastery, we study, I don't know, a Geshe is 25 years. You have to study 25 years. And they teach you to meditate. You meditate for 25 years. And then maybe if you're lucky, you have a breakthrough experience. Okay, it's called Tonglam. And it means the first direct perception of reality, ultimate reality. Okay. So if you work for years, maybe you can have a 20-minute experience where you see ultimate reality directly. It's called emptiness in Buddhism. We'll talk more about it. If you understand that thing, even before you learn to meditate on it, you can do oxygen money and you can have a nice partner and you can lift up the girl and all that. Okay? After that, after you come out of that, that takes maybe 20 minutes. And then after you come out of that meditation, some cool stuff happens, okay? For like the rest of the day. And it stops by the next morning, okay? Like when you go to sleep, it's over. So, you know, if you had that experience in the mid-morning, then you would have extraordinary things would happen to you for the rest of the day. And that's called the aftermath. Jetho Byeshi. It's called the rest of the day in Tibetan. Can you get this down just a bit? It's a little hot. It's a little feedbacky. So you can, the rest of the day, weird stuff happens to you, okay? Part of it's still sitting on your cushion, but out of meditation. And then part of it is walking around the rest of the day, and cool stuff happens, all right? I'll tell you some of it, all right? For example, you can read other people's minds for a whole day and not just think, you know, it's clear. You can hear the words forming in their mind. And, you know, you can hear some guy look at you and say, he's a real schmuck, you know. And, no, and then you confirm what you thought they were thinking. No, I'm not kidding. It's a weird experience. And you can actually hear what people are thinking and about you. Maybe there's some kind of universal protection thing where you're not supposed to hear what other people really think of you. So anyway, you can hear exactly what other people are thinking. You can see the future. You can see the day of your death. Okay? You can see. You see, most of us know we're going to die, but we don't really think about it or we don't really believe it. On that day, you can see how gravity is going to win the fight. You know? And you can see it directly. You can see the day of your death. On the good side, you have this really extraordinary experience. You can say ultimate love or something like that. It's connected to yoga. It's connected to the heart chakra. During that day, your heart chakra opens. And weird things happen. Your mind is located there. Tibetans don't say, "I think so." They say, "I think so." And your mind is inside your heart chakra. And then when it opens, your capacity to be in different... Your capacity to see different times compresses. Okay? Like right now, we're locked into the present moment. We're like living in a closet our whole lives. We can't see directly what's going to happen next week, and we can't see directly what happened last week. We live in the present moment. It's only one moment long. When that opens, during that meditation, during the aftermath, that changes, and you can see many times at the same time, and you can see many places at the same time. So then you have this really amazing experience of love. The heart chakra opens, and you have this intense experience of love. And the love is very strange. You can see many faces of people. Okay? In the single minute or 2 minutes, you can see the faces of millions of people, billions of people, okay, at the same time. Okay? And you can see the faces of every other creature on this planet. Birds, lions, fish, microbes. You can see all of their face and their body, upper body. You can see directly at the same time. Okay? The mind has the capacity to do that. When you have that experience, the mind opens for, during the aftermath, maybe for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Now is it too cold? I was a driver for the Dalai Lama's teacher for a while. And he used to make me turn the air conditioning up and down and up and down. Anyway, you can see the face of every living thing. And then, not just in this world, but many other worlds. All other worlds, okay? There's no end to the number of worlds that there are, that are inhabited. And you can see all of the beings on all of those worlds at the same time. Okay? Which is intense. And you feel this love for them, like they were your children. And you know that you're going to be taking care of them. So you can see into the future, to the day when you become, you can say enlightened angel or something like that, okay? You become like an enlightened being. And you can, during the aftermath, you can see what you're going to be. And you know you're going to take care of all those beings, directly. You know, like you will go to all those worlds and you will take care of them. Okay, it's a very beautiful experience, you know. After that, you can't really get upset too much in your whole life. You know, it's hard to get upset. A policeman stopped me the other day. I did get upset. But, but it takes a lot. So, I mean, if it happens to you, then after that, your life is totally changed. You're not, like, thinking about next year or last year, or you're thinking in terms of galaxies at a time. You see, it's very interesting. It's very beautiful. You have that capacity. It's covered. It's blocked. And in the aftermath, it's that block is removed, and you have this experience. Okay. Something else happens during the aftermath. Okay, you realize that during the meditation you just came out of, that what you saw in those moments... What you saw in those moments was the first time you ever saw anything correctly in your life. Okay? Like all the rest of your life, everything you ever saw, everything you ever heard, every thought you ever had was mistaken. Okay? Like I was driving down the street the other day. It was dusk. A wind was blowing. And a leaf rolled across the street. And I slammed on my brakes because I thought it was a mouse. You know? Because I killed a mouse near my house that way once. So now I'm like this, you know, and then I saw this thing and I slammed on my brakes, you know. And then I looked and I realized it was just a leaf, okay. We're doing that all the time. We do that all day with every object we see. Even just looking, talking, listening to me, you're doing it. Okay? And I'm doing it to you. We're making a very fundamental error all the time. We are mistaken all the time. When you are in that meditation, you're not mistaken. When you come out of that meditation into what's called the aftermath, you go back to being mistaken. It's sad. Okay? It's weird. It's weird. But there's a difference, right? Which is what? You know you're mistaken. Okay? You know you're mistaken. It's like if you have an eye problem and you look at the moon and there's two moons, you don't think like, oh, they put a new moon up there. You know? Like, you know there's only one moon, but you can't stop your eye from seeing two moons, right? It's like you can't stop your mind from making a mistake, but you know you're making a mistake, okay? Things look to be a certain way to you, but you know you're mistaken, okay? And that condition is called illusion. Okay? That condition is called illusion. I see a big lake on the road to Yuma, but I think it's not really there. Okay? Like it's a mirage, right? Then you catch yourself and you say, it looks like a lake, but I know it's not a lake. Okay? I still see the lake. I still see the shimmering thing, but I know it's not a real lake. Okay? A person who is in the aftermath for the first time in their whole life is aware of mirages around them all the time. Okay? Then how do you act on that? You know, what do you do with that? How do you make your wishes come true? How do you get oxygen money or a nice partner or fix your bad leg or your breast cancer? How do you use that to fix those things? Okay? You can. And it's interesting, only that day, only those few minutes of meditation can change your being forever. You will become a different kind of being. It's very interesting. But how do you get there? How do you get to the other kind of being? They call nirvana, okay? Nirvana. We're going to do a big nirvana program in New York. What, next week? I'm not ready yet. But we're going to do a six-day nirvana program. It's 3 days in New York, and we interview you. Nirvana means blow out. Nir means out, and van means blow, like ventilation comes from that. Nirvan means to blow something out. And nirvana means when you get to the point in your life where no one can upset you anymore, and you're never afraid of anything. Okay? Nirvana is a mental state when you're no longer, you cannot be upset by anything anymore. And no one can hurt you. No one can make you scared. No one can frighten you. There's no fear in your life. Okay? That's nirvana. Enlightenment comes after that. Okay? Nirvana is like down here and enlightenment's up there. Enlightenment means all the time you're seeing everything in every world. And you're helping people all the time. You can split your body into billions of bodies. Okay? That's enlightenment. But long before that comes nirvana, okay? Nirvana means nobody can upset you anymore. You're totally at peace. Sometimes it's called peace. What's that mean? How do you get there? Let's take the example. I like the example of the yelling boss, okay? Because I was in corporate life. I had a yelling boss for 15 years. I had the classic yelling boss, okay? And, you know, they would just yell at me for anything. They swore they were speaking quietly, but I don't. When they're yelling, you know, when they're criticizing you, it sounds like they're yelling. They said, "Boss yelled at me today." But they never raised their voice. So anyway, I had a yelling boss all the time. And then, in this idea, that boss is part of the illusion, right? That boss is not who you thought they were. What's that mean? We tend to think that boss decided to yell at us, right? The reason the yelling is going on, and the reason it began, and the reason it kept going, was that the boss decided to do it. You see what I mean? So they say, you're stupid, you didn't do the order on time. I remember a classic one. It was J.C. Penney. I was in the diamond business. We did 30,000 pieces of jewelry. We did 300,000 diamonds a day, okay? And then they would tell me, order, 150,000 diamonds for J.C. Penney. Then they're going to advertise it next week. So I'd get the diamonds ready, and then the ad would come out in the New York Times or something, and then, people would rush to the stores. But in this case, I forgot the diamonds. And so the ad was in the New York Times, second page, and everybody rushed to the stores, and they didn't have anything. It was really funny to me. Then I got really yelled at. Okay. In this system, okay, in this system, where is the boss coming from? Okay, why am I seeing a boss yell at me? Okay, in this system, I have yelled at someone a month ago or a couple of weeks ago. It was a small yelling. Okay, because yellings grow. They are seeds. The small yelling is a karmic seed, right? I criticized someone. Maybe I, at home, I said something to my partner. I said, the dinner tastes great when we both know she burned it. Okay? Like I'm being sarcastic, right? Like, this dinner has a special smoky flavor, And then that plants a small seed in my mind. Okay? That saying that thing, I witness it. I witness myself saying something unkind. Then that plants a seed in my mind, in my subconscious. Okay? Then it cooks there for a while, and then it comes out. And then 2 weeks later, I'm at work. By the way, in the time that it cooks, it doubles in power every day. It doubles in power every day. Okay? It's like bad news. Okay? So like you say smoky flavor on August 1st, and then by August 10th, it's hundreds of times more powerful. Then you go to work and you make a mistake and the boss is on your case for 6 weeks or something like that, okay? Unfortunately, those seeds grow very powerfully. So when the boss is yelling at me about J.C. Penney and the New York Times, if I have this training, if I understand where the boss is coming from, then I don't get upset. You see, I know it's because I said smoky flavor 2 weeks before. You see, I know it's my fault. Got it? I don't feel... I'm sorry that he's there. I'm sorry. You just feel regret. I'm sorry I said that to my wife two weeks ago. Because now I have to put up with this guy. You know what I mean? Like that. It's just some kind of sadness. It's not anger. You can't be angry at him. Because it's not his decision to start yelling. And it can't be his decision to stop. It's you. It's all coming from you. You said something to your partner 2 weeks ago. And if you're good at this system, you can even figure out what it was. He's yelling at you about J.C. Penney, and you're nodding your head, but you're like, oh yeah, 2 weeks ago. Yeah, and then he says, are you sorry? And you're like, yeah. And then you kind of just make this commitment in your mind that I won't complain at home anymore, because I want to get rid of him. Okay? That's the intelligent way to get rid of your boss. Okay? Stop making those seeds, and then they will change. It's very interesting. Okay? So where does the illusion come in? It looks like he decided to criticize me, but that's not true. He's being run by my seeds. His whole manner, the way he's talking, the fact that he came into my office, all that was created by me. It's all flowing out of my mind. I created him with those seeds. You see? Then he looks like he has power to stop yelling, but it's not true. Okay? And how do you relate to an illusion? You see? Do you scoop up water from a mirage with a cup or with a canteen? Which is better? You see? No, you laugh, you see? But you make the same decisions all day. Should I talk with him? Should I reason with him and convince him that I'm not at fault? Or should I fight? You see? Should I fill the canteen or should I fill the cup? And it's all useless. There's nobody there. The guy who's going to decide to stop yelling at you if you're nice to him or if you're mean to him doesn't exist, and he never did. Okay? All the people you ever got upset at didn't exist. Try that one on. Okay? Like, if you get good at this system and you see through them and you know they're coming from you, who are you going to get upset at? Who are you going to get upset at? It's just me, you know? Then the whole thing comes like this. And it's not an evil thing. I mean, you don't sit there and say, you don't get one of those whips and hit yourself on the back, right? You just say, well, that's dumb. I won't do that anymore. That's all. You see what I mean? But to sit there and try to stress about, should I stick up to him? Or should I be nice to him? Those are like, should I fill the water from the mirage with a canteen or a cup? It doesn't matter. They don't work. And you know that. Sometimes you stick up and he fires you. Sometimes you stick up and he stops yelling. Sometimes you don't say anything and he fires you. Sometimes you don't say anything and he stops yelling. It's all random. Why? You're dealing with a mirage. He's not even there. It doesn't matter what you do. Get it? It's funny. It's kind of weird, okay? He's not there. The guy that you're upset at is not there. The guy who's not coming from you is not there, and he never was. Okay. The guy who's coming from you is there. The boss who's coming from you is there. And then you can deal with him. If you understand the illusion, you can deal with him. You can shut him down. Okay. I had 800 employees in my building in New York. We bought a building, and I think it's 14 floors or something. So I worked on them one by one. By the end of the grand experiment, it was my Lama challenged me to do this experiment. You know, start a company, see if you can make $1 billion or something using seeds. So I'm like, yeah, let's try. You know, so by the end, I cleaned out the last of the 800 people. You see? They were all like perfect employees. They used to stay till 9 o'clock for free, and they didn't want to go home. I didn't pay them from 5 to 9, and they wouldn't go home. They'd give us more work, you know? So you can, it's kind of not fair, right? But you can, it's all flowing from you, you see? It's all flowing from you. You can make anything happen, okay? But you have to understand that it's not what you thought it was, okay? You have to understand that the things around you are not what you thought they were, okay? They're not coming from their side. They don't have any power to decide not to yell at you. And it doesn't matter what you say to them. Because what you have to do is go home and apologize to your partner and not say bad things anymore. And then the boss will be friendly the next week. Okay? That's how you fix 800 people. Okay? It's kind of cool. All right. Next verse. This is 71. By the way, I'm checking this paper because this has your homework questions on it. What are you talking about, homework? We don't let you out of the building until you do homework. Just kidding. If you want to learn this stuff well, I ask that you take the homework home, okay? I taught for many years. I figured out nobody was learning anything. Then I made them do homework. Then everybody learned something. And then they could teach it to other people, okay? So what I really, my dream, the reason I'm up here teaching is I want to pass it on to people, and then I want to retire. And I want you to teach. You see, seriously. So my dream is create a bunch of teachers, okay? So these are, all these two-night talks are like little units that you can use. You can take them. There's no copyright on this. You can use it. You teach yoga. You can use it in your yoga class. Take out what you want. You know, put your name on it. I had lots of friends do that. They write books from my stuff, and they don't even put my name on it. They put their name on it. I said, okay. You know, I just want to help people. So I'm asking you, there will be a homework. You can get one. When, Nicole? Where's Nicole? During the break? You want to stand up? She's the homework master. She did a nice job today. We went to a prison. We have a prison program in south of Phoenix, in Florence. And she taught meditation to 65 nasty guys. And it was nice. It was nice. That's Jeff Eddy's program. Where is he? Yeah, he's doing a great job. And Nick Lashaw, where are you? Yeah, those two guys are... Yeah, we should give a hand. Yeah. So really, but she doubles as the homework master. So she'll give you, if you want a homework, why? Take the homework home. She has some, you can get together with other people tomorrow. I encourage you to get together with other people. She'll tell you where, she'll tell you when. You cheat on your homework together. Okay? Like, if one person knows what's going on, then everyone gets 100. So you know, take a homework. Don't think it's dumb, okay? Don't think it's stupid. It's so that you can teach it later. I want you to become a teacher. Everybody in this room should teach these things, okay? What if you could teach somebody in a few hours to make $250 million? Would that be a nice thing to be able to do? You see? And we do it all the time. We go around the world and we do this. Or to find the partner they've been trying to find for 10 years. If you can just talk to them for an afternoon and teach them how to tweak reality and find the perfect person, then wouldn't that be a nice gift to be able to give to someone? You can learn and you should teach, okay? So I'm asking you to do the homework, all right? And you will be whipped if you don't, okay? But it will be an illusion. All right. But it still hurts, but we'll get to that later. Okay, verse 71, page 33. Semni tombe melong dang, kunzom name tendel ki, gyu ken sope na watam, ma chen na yin chen na me. All this world is but an appearance which forms when all the necessary causes and conditions have met. It is only apparent, not what it seems. A world where things occur because they depend upon others. A reflection appearing in the mirror of emptiness, the mind as it is. If we ask no questions, things are there. When we start to ask them, things disappear. Okay? This brings me... I want to concentrate on this thing he said. He said... Things are a reflection appearing in the mirror of emptiness, okay? Things are a reflection appearing in the mirror of emptiness. If this is like one of the first talks you ever heard from me, you just have bad luck. Because this is a hard one, okay? We got to a hard part. Don't lose hope, okay? This is a particularly hard part. I'm going to explain it, and you got to pay careful attention, okay? Why? If you want, you can make $250 million. If you want, you can fix your body. And you can have peace in your mind. And you can play bass after 3 minutes of training. No kidding. Okay, what's this thing? No, don't. Pretend you didn't hear it before. There's probably somebody here. I need to do this to explain the verse, okay? So you gotta go here to go there. What is this thing? It's a pen. I'm going to do it quick so you don't suffer too much. If a puppy dog came in here and I went like this in front of the dog, then what would they do with it? They would maybe chew it. They would maybe chew on it. Do they see it as a pen? They don't see it as a pen. I also chew on it. Anyway. Question for you. Who's right, the human or the dog? You can say both, I think, you know, animal rights. You can't say... I had only one guy in the world in like 2003 in Florida. He insisted that the human was right and the dog was wrong. But that's the only person. So, obviously they can both be right. Why? The dog can chew on it and have fun. then it fulfilled its purpose. It's a functioning chew toy. And then the human can write with it. And the human can say that the dog ruined a perfectly good pen, but the dog can also say that the human is wasting a perfectly good chew toy. Right? You have to appreciate both sides, right? So it's both. Now, if I set this cylinder here, and all the dogs leave the room, and all the humans leave the room, at that time, which one is it, a pen or a chew toy? You say neither, okay? Even if you never heard Buddhist philosophy in your life, you say neither. That's emptiness. And nothing else, okay? Buddhists always talk about emptiness. And now you just got 25 years of training in like 2 minutes. No, because you can save so much time. You can save 25 years, I'm telling you. Okay? No, I'm not kidding. I'm really not kidding. Emptiness doesn't mean you close your eyes and pretend everything's black. Emptiness doesn't mean you open your wallet and there's no money. It doesn't mean stare at the wall. It doesn't mean nothing matters. It doesn't mean everything's an illusion even. It just means by itself, from its own sign, it's neither a pen nor a chew toy when no one's in the room. That's all. It's available. I like available. That's emptiness. Emptiness means blank white screen. It just occurred to me recently that blank is probably white, right? Blank probably came from blank. But emptiness means the world around you is like a blank white screen, right? If you know how to work on the projector, you could project $1 billion. Or you could project a new partner onto the screen. How? Plant the seed, right? You just plant the right seeds. And that's a really beautiful skill. And you should learn, okay? You should learn that. It's not the subject tonight, but roughly, if you want to plant a seed for something, you have to provide this. If you want something for yourself, you must plant the seeds for it by providing it to someone else first. Okay? And that's the way the universe works. Okay? If I want pens in my life, if I want more pens in my life, I like this pen. I import them from Japan. Okay? I only like this kind of pen. So, let's say Rebecca needs a pen. Right? I want to have more of these pens. Should I try to make more money and send an order to my Japanese supplier? No, because that's not where the pen comes from. And that's not how I got the pen. How did I get the pen? If I want more of this specific pen in the future, I must provide it to someone else first. That plants a seed in my subconscious. How? You ready? She needs a pen desperately. She's a famous lawyer. She's about to sign a contract, and she forgot her pen. And they gave her 5 minutes to sign. And I have a pen. Okay? So then she puts out her hand. Okay? Then I'm thinking, if I give away my last pen, I will get more. That's the only way to get more. So I'm like looking for someone who needs a pen. Then I'm so happy to meet you. You need a pen, right? I want more pens. So I'm going to plant a seed. Then you have to watch, okay? I'm not just making this stuff up. I'm talking $250 million. You can check. We own jewelry.com. Ready? Go like this. Then I put the pen in her hand. Then watch. I let go. Okay? I see my hands release the pen. I'm the witness to that action. My mind is like a video camera. My mind records all the things I do. You can't escape your actions, okay? It's not God watching. It's you. Okay? You can't hide in a room and lock the door, okay, and do something naughty. Because it's being recorded by you, not by anybody else. And it comes back through you. You see what I mean? So I'm watching. I release it. As I release it, I think, to myself, I gave it to her. And that plants a seed. Okay? That plants a seed in my subconscious. Okay? That seed doubles every 24 hours if you know how to take good care of it. Okay? Our company is the fastest growing company in the history of New York. Okay? How? Just plant the seed, you see? So you plant it. It's planted in your subconscious, okay? Then there's ways to take care of it, and we don't have time to do that tonight. If you really want to know, talk to the homework master. 4 steps, right? We did them in the prison today. We were teaching the prisoners how to get out early. They were like... You know, and the guards were like... You know, but anyway... we did it, by the way, with some of them, without breaking them out. They don't want money, they want to get out. And we did some guys. There's a guy in Scottsdale, you can go to his hair parlor. He's very famous now. He was one of our first students. And now he's teaching meditation, and he's got, I think, the hottest salon in Scottsdale. Anyway, you plant the seed. Then people say, oh, karma, you know, you step on a bug, somebody's going to break your leg in 16 years. That's how I was taught karma by my mom. You know, don't kill flies. Your arm will get broken. You know, like that. It's karma. But it's a little more sophisticated than that, okay? So you give the pen. You see yourself give the pen, and that plants a seed in your subconscious. And that seed stays there. And if you know how to take good care of it, it doubles every day. Okay? By the next day, 2 pens are waiting in your subconscious. Okay? The trick that you need to know, like any educated person can understand it. All over the world, in any country, everyone gets it. Okay? How does the seed come out is the interesting question. Okay? How does the seed produce a pen? How do I get a pen from that seed? So I gave a pen to Rebecca on February 24th in the evening. I put a seed in my mind. That seed sits in the subconscious. Depending on how good I am at taking care of it, it doubles every day. It will produce 2 pens in 2 days. You figure it out for a month. It gets really radical. It's like a billion or something. I don't know. If you know how to take care of it. And that's how you can make the fastest company grow like that. Okay? So how do you... How does it come out? How does it come out of the mind? It's a very beautiful thing. This guy standing at the Franciscan Renewal Center says, I'm going to show you something. And he whips out a black cylinder. It's just a black cylinder. Okay? Then in the moment that my hand begins to move, it's really beautiful. Think about it. My hand moves from here to there. And in that amount of time, the seed in your mind cracks open at the same moment. I'm going like this with my hand. And in the time it takes my hand to reach here, that seed that you planted with her 2 weeks ago is opening in your mind. It's very beautiful. And it comes up out of the subconscious into the conscious mind. And it creates a tiny picture of a pen. And it's only that big. It's very funny, okay? The picture of the pen is only that big. It came out of a karma seed in your mind that was planted there when you gave a pen to somebody and watched yourself doing it. Got it? Got it? It's weird, but it works, okay? Look it up online, jewelry.com. Okay? No, I'm serious. It sounds cool. It sounds weird, but it works, okay? I'm trying to turn you on to something that can change your life. You don't have to struggle for money anymore. Just relax. It'll come. Plant it. Don't fight for it. You know. So anyway, the seed opens. A tiny image of a pen comes into your mind. And your mind, in the time I go like this, your mind puts it on the pen. And you see a pen. And the dog doesn't have that seed. Okay? The pen is a blank movie screen. Blank white movie screen. Right? And your mind is a projector. And it projects a picture onto the pen. And it's good. That picture is damn good. Why? You can write with it. Okay? It's a miracle. It's amazing. That picture creates an object which can write. Okay? It creates reality. I'm saying the pen is coming from you, and that's why it's real. Okay? The pen is coming from you, and that makes it work. That's really weird. It's really cool. Okay? It's not some illusion. It's real. And you can write with it. Okay? The picture is so good, you can write with it. The picture of the money is so good, you can buy things with it. Got it? It's very interesting. Okay? So can we say that the mind is... can we say that things are appearing in the... That, can we say that things are like a reflection in the mirror of emptiness? You see? So you want to see an apple in a mirror, what do you have to do? You have to put the apple in front of the mirror. And then you will see an apple in the mirror. Okay? You want to see $10,000 in your bank account next week, you must plant the seed which will create that image, and it will be in your bank next. You see, it's very cool. Got it? That's what he's talking about. You are putting stuff into the blank white screen. From where? From your own mind. Because I want to? No. It doesn't work, okay? You can close your eyes and go, and say, I want to see a piece of gold. It's coming from me. It's coming from me. You know, and then it's still a pen. Okay? It doesn't work by willpower. Forget it. Plant the seed. Relax. In a week, it'll be a pen. Got it? It's not willpower. You have to plant the seed. And you can only plant a seed with another person. This system requires that you be kind and attentive to everyone around you. Because that's where everything comes from. It's really nice, okay? You must be kind to others. And you must provide to others. You must be interested if someone you know is sick. You must get interested if someone is lonely and doesn't have a nice partner, okay? You must care about people who are having a hard time financially. Because that's where it's all going to come from. You can only plant the seeds with other people. You can't, like, you know, plant it in yourself. You've got to do it with other people. You have to give something to other people. It's very interesting. So we can say that you are projecting your world onto empty screens. How? By taking care of other people. By providing to other people the things that you want. Okay? Got it? We were in the prison today, you know, and we're like, they're like, could we do girlfriends after we get out? And I'm like, yeah, let's go there. And I said, so there's four steps. You got to write these four down, okay? This is free, okay? This is not in tonight's talk. You get this one for free. Number one, decide what the heck you want. Okay? Just make a sentence. They were like, we want to get out early. And then I'm like, well, what after that? They said, I want a girlfriend. I said, okay, let's work on the girlfriend. Number one, I want a nice girlfriend when I get out, okay, early. They were kind of cheating. They were doing two things at once. I want a nice girlfriend when I get out early. Okay, that's step number one. Step number two, I mean, what's the essence of a girlfriend or a boyfriend is that I don't want to be lonely. I want companionship. I want quality companionship. Not creepy companionship. Okay? All right? No, we have to say that, right? I mean, this could be a disaster. I want quality companionship. Okay? So then the step number two is you have to make a plan. Who are you going to give what you want? Okay? Who am I going to give quality companionship to? I suggest you go to a nursing home. I told the prisoners, you know, okay, you know where to find a girlfriend? They're like, where? They said, go to a nursing home. Then the guys in the front, they're like, hey man, we want a younger one. You know? Like, no, you don't understand. If you want companionship, quality companionship, you must provide quality companionship to someone else. Where am I going after the talk tonight? Where am I sleeping in Phoenix? At my quality companionship object. Okay, I have an 85-year-old lady that I take care of. Every time I'm in Phoenix, I go to her house, I sleep there, I fix her house, I do something, okay? I wash the dishes, like that. Because I want quality companionship. So after this class, I'm going there and to work on her shelving for in her storeroom. You know, he knows her. He's trying to steal her from me, and Nick's really bad. I asked her the other day, we went to lunch, I said, so you need anything around the house? She says, Nikki's taking care of it. So anyway, you gotta find, if you want companionship, you have to plan, who are you going to give companionship to? Okay, you have to plan where you're going to plant your seeds, okay? Because you need somebody else. So step number two is to plan. Make it a fantasy, fantasia. Make it a long, complicated fantasy, because every moment you spend on it, you plant more seeds. By planning, you are planting. Helping her takes an hour or 2 hours. It only plants an hour of seeds. But planning to help her, you can do for day after day. When you eat, when you drive on the throne, you can plan. No, you can say, I'm going to take her flowers. I got my nephew, right? Kev, you got the flowers? Where are you? You're watching the flowers, right? Don't let people take them. So we got the flowers ready. We planned it all day. We're going to take her flowers, you know. And then the time you spend planning is equal to the time you give the pen. Got it? Hundreds of times more powerful. That's where most people fail in this concept of karma. They give somebody $10 and they wait for $100 to come back. But the giving is only a few minutes. You gotta jack up the planning stage. You have to think about it over and over. I'm going to make red roses. I'm going to make sure they're fresh. I'm going to go to 3 different stores. I'm going to pick the best ones. I'm going to make sure they smell good. You know, I'm going to make sure they don't have thorns on them. I'm going to get them into water as soon as I buy them. All of those thoughts are much more seeds than the giving. Okay, so most people, they say, oh, I've been giving money to people for years, but nothing happened. I didn't get $1 million. That's because you don't know about number two and number four. Okay, so number two is planning, strategy, you know? When I see my old lady tonight, that's like a week of planning, and she never knows. She just thinks that it's natural. You know, one night I forgot to take flowers. Oh, boy. So that's number two. Number three is what? Number three is give the thing. You know, go to her house. Sit with her for half an hour. Ask her how her day went. You know, because nobody asks old people how their day went. Nobody cares. And they're lonely. Okay? Then she will tell me the story about her high school boyfriend in Las Cruces, New Mexico, who was the cutest boy in the school in 1945. And I will listen with rapt attention for the 100th time. And, okay? Like, sit with her and listen and pay deep attention. Sometimes you can learn a lot from older people, by the way. I mean, it's not all senile rambling. If you sit there for a while and you listen, you might learn a lot. And they can give you good advice, okay? Anyway, so sometimes I ask her advice and she gives me good advice. That's step number three. That doesn't take so long. That doesn't plant a lot of seeds. You need to go to number four. Okay? Number four is when you get home that night, okay, or I'm going to go to bed upstairs from her in her apartment. She has a bed for me. I will lay down on the bed. When you lay down on the bed, think about the good thing that you did today. Think about the good things that you did today when you lay down on the bed. When you fall off to sleep, your consciousness, your chakras are very open. They are very vulnerable. Okay? If you have nasty thoughts, I hate my boss, my wife screamed at me yesterday, then those fester all night long. The consciousness is very open during sleep. So in this system, you reverse it. You see? You say, as I fall off asleep, I'm going to think about the time I spent planning to meet my old lady and then sitting with my old lady. And I will get new mileage out of the same seeds. It's very interesting, okay? You lay down. People have trouble sleeping. Try this, okay? Just think about all the sweet things you did for people. By the way, there's no expiration date. Seriously, you can think about something you did last week or last year or 10 years ago, right? You do think about your ex, right? Stuff that they said 10 years ago. Now you just reverse it, okay? You think about all the nice things you did. Think about the major good things you did in your life as you fall asleep. Think about how you helped her as you fall asleep. That makes those seeds double every few hours during your sleep. You are using your sleep. That's called dream yoga. It's called Milamgi Nelnjor in Tibetan. Milamgi Nelnjor means dream yoga. And if you get good at it, you will be helping her in your dreams also. It's very beautiful. You are collecting seeds in your dreams. Okay? You plan the dream. You fall off to sleep. You learn to control the dream. And in the dream, you plant seeds. And you use the night also. Okay? It's very beautiful. And then you can make the things you want come true. Why did I talk about that? Anyway, those would be like reflections in the mirror, okay? The world is like an empty movie screen, white. And then when those seeds open, you will see a partner. A partner will be created. Then, Lena, some other time we can talk about planning the partner a little better. You know, like, I want somebody with a job. And I want somebody who's affectionate. And I want someone who's loyal. And I want someone who will listen to me. Each of those is a different karma. Each of those is a different seed. So you have to become a master of partner farming. Okay? No, it's like genetic modification of a plant. You know, you say, you got one, but it's a little off, you know, and then you say, oh, I need to plant seeds to make him more affectionate. Or I need to plant seeds to make him more loyal. And you can do that. You can adjust. If you have a partner now, you can adjust them. Because they are also flowing from your mind. The partner you have now, if you've been with them for 20 years, and they've had the same problem for 20 years and they don't listen to you, you can change them. You just work on those seeds. It's a very beautiful system, okay? I think we'll take a break. I'll stay up here. If you have a question that you don't want to ask in public.
Tomorrow.
Okay, we'll start again. Okay, here we go. We're on verse 72 and 73, page 34. Nawa lobor ming tak chen, cheme tsam la gyunde jo. The way we think that certain things can act as causes for other things exists only in an apparent world, in a world of names that come and go, in a world we never question. But if we are not satisfied with living the world like this, and instead we begin to investigate how one thing can cause another, in the end we come up with nothing. Okay? So we have to talk about causes and how one thing causes another, right? So people come to me and they say, I don't know, are you more interested in money or girlfriends? Raise your hand. Money people. Girlfriend people. Boyfriend people. Okay, it's pretty clear. All right. World peace? Nah. Okay. World peace only got one vote. All right, two. So people come up to me and they say, do you think it's the right time? I had an interview from Buenos Aires yesterday or the day before, because we're going there shortly. So we had this interview from a financial magazine in Buenos Aires, and they want to know, do you think we should invest? Do you think Americans should invest in Buenos Aires stock market or in Buenos Aires property? You know? And then I'm like, the question is wrong. Okay? And they say, well, don't you think property can make Americans money if they buy Argentine property? can it be a cause of making money that you buy property in Argentina, or should you rather invest in Argentine companies? That was their question for their magazine, right? And they use the word cause, right? So if you invest in property, will you make money? Is the market at the bottom yet or not? People asking me, okay, you're a business person, you know, is the market at the bottom yet? Should I invest in, should I buy a house now that they're only $5,000 or whatever? You know, or will it go to three? You know, and then some people are like, well, should I invest in stocks now? Like Apple's profits rose 30-something percent in the last 2 months. You know, should I, is Apple peaked out or should I buy it? So people are asking me, what, how will I make money? Okay. What is the cost for money? I would relate it to aspirin, okay? People ask me, let's talk about an aspirin, okay? So you get a headache, and then you want the headache to stop, right? So you get a headache, you go into your bathroom, you open the medicine cabinet, and you take an aspirin. You open the bottle, and you take an aspirin. Then what do? You drink water. Then what do? By the way, Sal, I have something for you. Don't forget after the class, okay? You wait. You sit down. And you hope. Okay? You sit down and you hope. Tell me you don't do that. Everybody does that. When you have a bad headache, you take the pill, you drink the water, and then you just hang out for a while. And you're praying that it will work fast. You say, work. The word work, right? I want the aspirin to work fast. Then you wait a while, and what happens? Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work. Okay? Then what do? You take another one. No, I take two. I take another one. And then I sit down again, and I'm like, you know, and I get feeling nauseous, you know, and then I'm like, then what do? Then you have to read the bottle. Because you got to see how many you can take without killing yourself. You know, like all your friends will find you and say, why did you commit suicide, you know? And you were just trying to get rid of a headache. You read the bottle and then it says, oh, you can take up to three or four. And then you take the maximum and then you wait. And if it doesn't work, you just suffer, right? There's nothing you can do. Does the aspirin... So I have a question for you. If I'm from another planet, and I come to your planet, and I say, you know, we've been observing you through your roofs with our special telescopes. Not when you dress. We have a rule against that. Okay? But we're curious, you know, why do you take those white pills when you have a headache? And then, you know, you'd say, well, they removed their headache medicine. It's aspirin. And then they're going to ask you a tough question. They're going to say, does it work? And you're going to say, sometimes. You have to say sometimes. If you're honest, you say sometimes. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You have to say that, right? Yeah. Then they will ask you a question. How many pills in the bottle worked last time? And you say, I don't know, maybe half. And then they'll ask you another question. Why don't you take the bottle back to the drugstore and ask for half your money back? Right? No, but see, you. Why do you laugh? I'm from another planet. And we're just curious why you always laugh at that. You know, I mean, would you buy a car if they told you it only started 4 days a week? You see what I mean? You say, no, no, I would never do that. Do you buy aspirin? You have to ask the question fast. You say, do you buy aspirin? Everybody says, yes. And then you're like, ah, you know. It's an interesting thing. You see, we say, if it doesn't work all the time, it's not the cause of that thing. Okay? That's very good for a scientist to... We're doing a special talk at Princeton, March 5th. You should come. No, we had some debate with some physicists there last year. And I said, I'm writing a new book and about physics. And they said, what's it called? And I said, A Better History of Time. And then they're like, what do you mean, you know? And I said, you got the causation stuff all wrong, you know? It's completely wrong. There's no chemical in an aspirin which causes a headache to stop. It's not the cause of the headache stopping because, duh, it doesn't work all the time. That means you didn't find the real cause. You have an associated cause, or you have a secondary cause, or you have a contributing cause, but you don't have the real cause. Because if you found the real cause and you took that, it would always remove your headache. Duh. It's just duh. And then you guys are being scammed by all the aspirin companies. And you just take it. You know, you just like, you roll over and you say, gee, it didn't work today. And you spend the whole day with a headache. And on our planet, we just take the right one and then it goes away. And we don't know why you do that. We don't know why you put up with it so long. You know, just let them give you medicine that doesn't work every time. You know, let them sell you a car that starts on Tuesdays but not on Thursdays. I mean, why do you put up with that? And then you'll say, well, give me a better one and I'll take it. Give me one that works every time and I'll take it. I'm not like stupid, you know. If the price is reasonable, and give me a different aspirin, I'll take it, right? So here's the different aspirin. And this gets into causation. There is a cause below causes. Okay? There is a cause behind every cause. And you have to understand that, okay? If the aspirin takes your headache away, it's because there was the proper cause there behind the cause. Behind the aspirin. And if the aspirin doesn't take your headache away, it must mean that that cause, that deeper cause wasn't there. Got it? I mean, duh. All right? When an aspirin works, something else must be happening. And when an aspirin doesn't work, something else must be missing. And it's just that simple, okay? Then you're like, okay, tell me what's the cause under the cause. What's the cause that makes the aspirin work? Okay? What do you think I'm going to say? You four-step experts. You want money, you have to help other people make money. You want companionship, you must provide companionship. I'm headed over there. I like it. I keep my companionship rolling. You see what I mean? I don't just quit. You see, you got to understand that too. You don't visit the old lady once and then the boy comes and you just quit. You can't dump the old lady. After the boy comes, you've got to keep going because you don't want the boy to turn creepy. Okay? I'm not kidding. I'm really not kidding. Okay, I keep going. My whole life, 20 years I'm going. Okay, so anyway, where were we? Something about aspirin. Yeah, what's the cause? Oh, so if you don't want a headache, what do you have to do? If you have a problem with headaches, what do you have to do? You must pay attention to other people who have a similar problem. Does it have to be the same kind of headache? No. Does it have to be headaches? No. Okay? Karmic seeds have some, what do you call? There's some leeway there. Okay? Like, if you can't find a person who has headaches, you can find a person who has stomach aches and help them. And then that plants a seed. As the black cylinder is coming out of my pocket and I hold it up. Got it? The karmic seed is opening in your mind and it makes a small picture of a pen and you see a pen. In a microsecond. And the dog doesn't have that seed. And they just want to chew on it. Okay? They have a seed to chew on it. They must have given somebody bubble gum in the past or something. Got it? Okay. I pull the aspirin out of the bottle. A seed opens in my mind. Okay? Where did the seed come from? I took an interest in other people's problems in the past. I paid attention when somebody else at work was going like this. You know, you can either ignore those people or you can walk over there and say, can I help you? You know, can I make you something to drink? Or okay? You want to tell me about what's giving you the headache? The attempt to help them with their headache plants a seed. And as you pull the white peel out of the bottle, at the same moment, the seed is opening in your mind from helping someone with a headache 2 weeks ago. And it produces a vision of an aspirin that takes away the headache. Got it? It's very beautiful. It's very beautiful. The reason an aspirin works when it works is nothing in the aspirin. You got to get used to that idea, okay? There's nothing in the aspirin. There's no active ingredient, okay? There's something else making the active ingredient active. Got it? It's very interesting. There is no active ingredient. If it was active, you wouldn't have a headache after you took it. But it's not active. It's only active sometimes. Okay? Something else makes it active. What? You helped somebody else in the past. Okay? It's very beautiful. It's very interesting. So what caused your headache to go away is the bottom line question. You helped someone else with a headache. That's the bottom cause. Then it comes through the aspirin. You see? If you got good at it, you wouldn't have to take the aspirin. Okay? It's very interesting. It's really interesting. Okay, got it? There's nothing in the aspirin that takes you. Figure out the causes under the causes, and then you can make stuff work. That's why he said, if you look for the causes, verse 73, in the end you come up with nothing. Okay? What's he talking about? You take the aspirin. You take a hammer. You smash it. You put it in a powder. You try to find something in the powder that's taking away your headache. There's nothing there. Okay? There is no active ingredient. If it was active, every aspirin you ever took would have worked. Got it? This is so hard to tell people. I don't know. So, I think when the Buddhists talk to us, it must be like talking to caterpillars. You know, and you're like... You know, and imagine if every medicine you ever took worked. You see what I mean? I'm trying to tell you something major. Mejor. This is important, you know. You don't have to have headaches anymore. That's very interesting. That's a big deal. What you think is causing other things is not causing other things. All the things that science thinks is causing other things doesn't cause other things. Why is this roof staying up? I gave this talk at the World Trade Center in 1999. Then I left New York. Okay, I said, what's holding this building up? Okay, some of you were there in the Quaker House, uptown. We were talking about the World Trade Center. We said, what keeps it up? And were you there? Quaker House. You were there. He was there. We were discussing the World Trade Center, what keeps it up. And then somebody said iron and steel and, you know, and bolts. And I said, no. That's like an aspirin that has an active ingredient. That's not true. There's another power keeping the steel. There's another power that keeps the steel strong enough to hold it up. And if that power was gone, it would fall. You were there. We talked about it. And then I got out of New York. But anyway, what keeps the building up? What gives the steel its power? What gives the aspirin its power? What gives the aspirin its power? You help someone else who had a headache. This roof will only stay up as long as the seeds in your mind are still there from having helped someone else who needed shelter. Okay? Having helped another person who needed a place to stay. And if those seeds die, that building must fall. And it doesn't matter that it's made of steel because the strength is not in the steel. And the active ingredient is not in the aspirin. It's very profound. It's really profound, okay? There's an explanation for all things in being good to other people. It's very powerful. It's not just a nice thing to do. It creates things. It's very profound. You have to think about it. Then you can fool around with stuff. That's really fun. I need $10,000 next week. Okay. But Okay. Last thing. Then I think we'll stop. Let's go to verse number... Well, let's do 74 together, okay? Jajeken la tushin du denba nama yaretsen denba shemba tewe tsar tsar yang shembe atang che. Say atang. Atang. Che. Atang che means this is tiring me out. Okay? Like, this is really tiring me out. What's tiring me out? Going to Sephora. Do you have Sephora in Phoenix? Okay. This talk works in New York and Shanghai. Because they have Sephora. Sephora is a cosmetic shop for you guys who are ignorant. If you go through the door, you spend $300. It doesn't matter. You can't get out of there without spending $300. Right? So anyway, people go in there and they say, you can see people there, you know. I used to get dragged there by a certain person. Anyway, I would watch people. I would sit in the corner because I was so bored. And then people would spend hours smelling the perfumes. And you can't smell anything after the first one. You know, they spray it on here and then you smell it and then it stinks your whole arm and you can't smell the other ones. But you spend the whole day there. And then you're trying to decide, should I get the red lipstick or should I get the pink lipstick, you know? Should I get Lancome or should I get Estee Lauder? You know, like these huge life decisions. And people are wondering what will work, you see? It's the idea of what I want you to go home with tonight is, why do things work? When they work, your car or the aspirin or the lipstick, you see what I mean? Why do they work? When they work, why do they work, okay? Is it that boys prefer, you know, they make fancy names for them, like Rose number 89, and, you know, Pink Sable Silverton, you know, they make weird names for the lipsticks, right? And then you got to have that one, because that's the only one that works, right? The idea of works. So people in Sephora, they wander up and down the aisles, they spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars, on a new kind of lipstick that works better than the old kind of lipstick, but then both don't work. Okay? Got it? It's like the aspirin thing. Why do you think they say on the TV that this new headache medicine really works? You know? Because the last one didn't really work, and neither does this one. Okay? And it's the same with new lipsticks and stuff. Okay? It doesn't work. It's not that one color or one gloss is going to attract a boy when the other color didn't attract the boy. Come on. You know? So why does one work? All that trouble. By the way, why does a lipstick work? Should you stop going to Sephora? Yeah. No, it's fun to go to Sephora. Do you want the lipstick to work that you buy there? Yes, it's expensive. How do you get it to work? You provide companionship to another person, right? You provide companionship to an elderly person. Didn't go to Sephora. Close your eyes. Walk in. Grab the first thing. And that will work. You see what I mean? Because it's only working because of the cause under the cause. Right? And the cause under the cause is helping a lonely person. Got it? Now, the point being made in this verse, when he said, what did he say in Tibetan? Atang che. Say, atang che. Don't exhaust yourself. Okay? Don't waste your time. Don't go to Sephora with a headache and all, because the aspirin didn't work. And you're like, should I get the red one? Should I get the pink one? All those troubles. Should I invest in stocks? Should I quit my job? Should I stay? Should I start my own company? Should I look on the internet for the boy? Should I go to a yoga class? Will he be there? You know? They will be there tomorrow, by the way. Uh, Try to imagine if all the decisions you had to make in your life were canceled tomorrow. Okay? No more decisions. Should I yell at my husband or should I just shut up and let him do his, you know, his nasty thing? You don't have to make those decisions anymore. If your husband is saying bad things, you take the seat out by not saying bad things to other people. You don't have to negotiate with him, and you don't have to be quiet with him, because neither one works all the time, and that means they're not the cause. It's very interesting, okay? No more decisions to make. Should I do this with him, or should I do that with him to make him wash the dishes? Don't worry about it. You be more helpful at work with someone who's stuck with a dirty job. You come home, he'll be washing the dishes. It's very interesting, because he's coming from you. He's flowing from you. It's very beautiful. Then all this thing about, should I fight with him to get him to wash the dishes, or should I just let them pile up until there's no dishes left and he can't eat dinner? You know? No, just all of those strategies, worrying about strategies. What if none of the worries in your life were necessary at all? Atang che. You see, what if you could get that time back that you spend worrying about what to say or what not to say? What if it was the case that saying and not saying were both wrong? And the only right thing to do would be to be kind to somebody else. See, karma works like that. It goes around. You can be nice to somebody at work and it will come back through your husband. Okay? Like that. Then just plant a seed. I don't spend time making money. I don't make money. I plant it. Okay? And then just relax. I don't sit there and worry about where should I put the money or where should I not put the money. I'm happy. I have a fun with my life. I don't have all those worries. I just don't think about it. I plant the seed and I relax. It doesn't help you plant a watermelon and go out there and say, oh, you know, it's not coming up yet. You know, just plant it, put the fertilizer, and go sit in your house and do something else for a while. And it will come. Then try to... It's that caterpillar thing again. Try to imagine that you didn't have to worry about anything again in your whole life. And that all that time you spend on options was no longer necessary. Okay? Just try. Try to imagine. Try to imagine a life like that. Because you can get there. It takes training, okay? It takes time. It's like learning a language or a piano or something like that. You can understand what I'm saying, and then you're going to go home and yell at your husband. You know? And I do too. I mean, I also, you know, it takes a lot of training. And then you've got to learn to act this way. You know? I want a nicer companion. Oh, I have to visit the lady more often. You see, it's a change in your thinking. Okay? Not that I have to go to a new nightclub or I have to, you know, go online or something like that. Okay? It's a kind of new way of thinking. And it takes practice. And even after many years, I still sometimes take aspirin. Okay. All right, we're going to zoom through this last one. We got like 5-10 more minutes, okay? I'll just do it real fast. I'm not going to read it, okay? I'm just going to tell you the guts of it. And then you can ask questions, okay? Because you should have some questions by now. By tomorrow, you should have some good questions. Ask me tough questions, okay? Ask me something about your life. Because that's why we're here, right? I want you to get something. I want you to learn how to get something. So ask me about something, okay? I'll cover the last verse fast, all right? That Lama lived to the age of, I think, 92, in a time and a country when the average age was 35. He lived 3 times longer than other people of his time. Okay? Then the people made fun of him, because by the time he died, he's, you know... Anyway, the pictures of him, the paintings of him are this guy, he's all, you know... Anyway... He was interested about aging, the process of aging. And he said, if the pen is coming from me, and if I see a pen because I planted a seed in my mind by giving a pen to Rebecca, then does that apply to the condition of my body? You see? Could I stop seeing my body get old? Is that also coming from me? He asked this question. Is that also coming from me? And the answer is, it is coming from you. Everything's coming from you. So, how do you make your body get younger? You know, how do you stop the process of aging? Right? And he asked that question. And he used the answer. And he lived 3 times longer than other people of his time. And then what happened to him afterwards is something amazing, okay? But not a normal death, okay? Maybe not death at all, okay? So how can you affect the process of aging? How you perceive your body is coming from you, right? It's coming from, it's like the pen. This and this are the same, okay? If I see an arm, if I see flesh, healthy flesh or not healthy flesh, it's coming from my mind. It's coming from seeds in my mind. If I want to stay young, what do I have to do? Help other people. Stay young. Okay? That's all. Constantly. All the time. Take an interest in other people. Help them stay young. You know? I go to my old lady's house. You know? I'm like, let's do Niguma yoga. She's like, all right. You know? And, you know, and we do it in her chair, and she does all this thing. And this is an old Tibetan yoga that we are trained in the monastery. So, and she does it. And that helps me stay young, you see. I help her to stay younger. That plants a seed in my mind. And then it affects my body. And it affects how my body works, you know. I just did a handstand 2 days ago. First time. The lady wanted me to try one hand next. You know, and your body can get stronger each year. It doesn't have to age like that. You don't have to go through normal aging. I didn't find the karmic seed for hair yet, okay? And I'm checking all the scriptures. But I'm sure it's in there. My lama told me, you'll make a lot of money if you find that. So anyway, think of the process of aging and death itself is also coming from you, and you can stop it, okay? You have to help someone else stay young, all right? Don't go and... Okay, don't atang che in the vitamin section at New Frontiers, okay? Don't, like, what do you call it? Exhaust yourself asking the guy which beta carotene works. You know what I mean? None of them works. Try to understand. You know, let's not be caterpillars, let's be butterflies, you know. None of the stuff works there. It's all neutral. It's all placebos. The whole world is a placebo. Okay? If you see it work, it's because you helped another person who was aging. And if you don't help them and you go buy the most expensive one, it's not going to work anyway, and you know that. And people go buy that stuff and then they get in a car accident on the way home. There's a reason for everything. It's very interesting, okay? You don't have to age like that. And it's not going to help to choose this vitamin or that vitamin. Why does vitamin work on some people and doesn't work on other people? You have to ask this question. It's because those people are helping other people who are aging. And then they get younger. Every year they get younger. It's very interesting. Everything is adjustable. Okay? Okay, we have like 5 minutes. You can either go home or ask a question. I'm threatening you. Okay, what do you think? Any question? Okay, please talk loud so everybody can hear.
Okay. If you have three people, the two people are friends and they're talking about another person, and one of the people said, oh, that person is so nice and he's so kind and fun and interesting. And then the other person says, what? No, he's not nice. He's mean and hateful and he hurts people. What do you do about that? And the person is just that one person, and people who are like, you know, who know each other see them in a completely different way.
Thank you.
Really? Okay, really.
So, but, and you can't really convince the other person that the person is nice.
They're not nice. And they're not not nice. It's the red lipstick and the pink lipstick question. You see what I mean? Really, it's the same question. Is it a pen or a chew toy? Don't say both. If I put it here, everybody leaves. Then which one? Neither. Are you saying it's a pen and it's a chew toy and it's both and it's neither? It is. The man is nice and the man is unpleasant at the same time. Okay? Why? One person has been pleasant to other people and they see him as pleasant. And the other person has been unpleasant to other people and they see him as unpleasant. And he is both at the same time, validly. He's really both. Okay? So don't get into, don't try to fight with me about Neil Young's Cowgirl in the Sand is not the best song ever written. Okay? I understand that you don't have seats. It's okay. Okay? No, I mean, I call it the favorite song argument. We go through this all the time in the band. They're like, somebody runs in and says, let's play this song. And you're like, yeah, let's hear it. They say, listen to this. And they go, and they play it on their iPhone. And then everybody goes, they give it the ultimate insult, which is what? It's interesting. It's so interesting. You know? And then, everybody hears a different thing. By the way, in that case, the people who have spoken sweetly to others will hear it as a good song. And those who have criticized others will hear a bad song. It's very interesting. So the fact that two different people experience another person in completely opposite way should be comforting. It's a proof of these ideas. It's a proof of these ideas. He's not either one. He's a blank white screen. And your seeds are making him... Didn't think how many problems that would solve. You see what I mean? You don't have to sit there arguing about, is he a nice man or a bad man? We like to have confirmation that the people we don't like are bad. We walk around the company. Isn't he really bad? And they say, yeah. And you say, see, they also think so. You know? And then you feel good. You feel happy. And then somebody says, I don't know, he's not such a bad guy. And then you say, oh, he's wrong. Okay, like that. You're all right. Everyone's right. Then the question just boils down to, would you rather be surrounded by assholes or nice people? And because you can create what you want, you know? You just be to other people what you want. And then the people around you will change. It's very interesting because they are not one way or the other. They are just blank white screens. It's very interesting. That means you can fix anybody. Okay? Nobody's unchangeable. Because they're coming from me, okay. Which is the bad news. Okay. I think you had a question. Talk loud so everybody can hear.
The older lady you help.
Yeah.
Are you helping her because she helped someone find a young man to help her?
There's two questions there. Okay, I'm gonna pull two questions out of that. The reason she sees me coming to help her is that when she was younger, she helped a lot of other people. Okay, that's true. It's not that I decided to help her. She drew me to her. She forced me to her. She's like a honey to a bee. You know, she helped other people and she made me come to her. Okay, she's responsible for me helping her. And it's always that way. There's another side to that question though. And maybe we end with that, okay? And I get this question all over the world. Maybe in Beijing most recently. And they said, "Quantita busa, shinshin bala bala," you know. And I said, "Of course." They said, "This whole system where you go help an old lady because you want to meet a new boyfriend is really selfish. This is unbelievably selfish. You know, you can stand up there, Buddhist monk, and tell people they should do good things to others so they can get money, or they can get." A boyfriend, or what kind of person are you? This is like the most weird thing I ever heard. You know, you're telling people to go help people so they can get something out of it, you know? If you just go to the old lady's house to help her, because you want companionship, that seed is a lousy seed. Okay? Will you get companionship? Yes. Will it be short-lived and creepy? Yes. Okay? Will the guy that's created by such a motivation be a selfish son of a gun? Yes. Okay? So you got to be careful. Okay? You don't want to go visiting some old lady just to get your boyfriend. Okay? Because that's selfish. Then the boyfriend's going to be selfish. You're planting selfish seeds at the same time you're planting boyfriend seeds. Okay? So how do I make it not selfish? Tell me that. How do I make it not selfish? Because in my heart, I'd rather do that anyway. I don't want to be some kind of selfish person, go trading being nice so I can get a boyfriend. What kind of deal is that? That's like business. You know? I want to help her. I want to have a boyfriend. How can I do it in a way which is the opposite of selfish? And there is a way, okay? In Buddhism, it's called bodhicitta, okay? People heard that word, bodhicitta. What does it mean? In this case, how do I get bodhicitta in this case? It's a little trick, it's a little mental trick, and then you're home free. Then it changes from an act of selfishness to an act of compassion, and universal compassion. So it's very cool. You can still do the same thing, still visit the old lady, still get a nice boyfriend, but the process becomes universal compassion rather than selfishness. Oh, tell me the trick, then I can go home. Okay, so here's the trick. While you're going to the old lady's house, you put your mind on, I'm helping her. Every time I do something for her, I'm planting seeds in my mind. I multiply those seeds by... Before I go to sleep, I think about all the good things I did for her. And they multiply wildly. That's a trick. You've got to remember that trick, okay? Because if you don't come back tomorrow, I want you to know that trick. So then you think like that. Then your mind must go to bodhicitta. Your mind must go to universal compassion. What is that? You think, if I get a nice boyfriend after 7 years of not having nice boyfriends, and I take this guy, if I take this boy with me to meet my friends, what's going to happen? They're going to be like, he's going to go to the bathroom. Then the real conversation is going to start. You know, he's going to go to the bathroom, you know, and they're all going to be, where'd you find him? You know? Was it the pink or the red lipstick? You know, like, what yoga school did you find? You know, there's going to be all these questions thrown at you. You know, and then you're going to say, nursing home. And then, no, and then there's going to, hopefully it's a number two and he'll spend a lot of time in the bathroom. And then, no, and then he's away. And then they say, to explain how this works again. Okay, you got to find an old lady. She has to be lonely. You have to go help her. And then before you go to sleep, you got to think about all the nice things you did. And that makes the seeds grow. You know, oh, here he is. You know? And then, you know? So what's going to happen? What's going to happen to them? They'll try it. I mean, what the heck? You haven't had a boyfriend for 7 years. Suddenly you got this man, this really cool man. Then they're going to say, you know, it sounds wacky, but what the heck? Let's give it a try, you know? Then they'll get a boyfriend. Then what will their friends do? They'll try it, right? Then you're at the middle of a chain reaction. You see what I mean? There's this movie, Harry Met Sally, right? You know the scene. I don't have to go into that. One lady's at a table and she's going, And then, and this other lady's like staring at her going, and with this man. And the waiter says, what would you like for dinner, madame? And she says, whatever she's having, I'll have it. You know? So, your friends are going to say, I don't know what you're doing, but tell me what you're doing. And I'll try it. And then it'll work. And then their friends will try it. And then what happens? There's long lines outside the nursing homes. There are single ladies and men standing in lines. Maybe they can meet each other there. And they'll be saying, you know, can I see Mrs. Hancock tonight? She's busy. She's booked. You know, it'll be like my doctor. He says, call me in 6 weeks. I have an opening in 6 weeks. You know, so like that. Then you will start a chain reaction. In the case of money, right? How I made my money. I helped refugees. I have a program to help refugees. It's 25 years old this year. And the reason the company grew was because at the time we started the company, we started a refugee project. And that's going big time for 25 years, right? So if the only way to make a lot of money is to help others make money, what will happen in the world if everyone believes that? You tell me. If everyone believes that the only way to make money is to share it with others, what will happen? There'll be no poverty. There'll be no poverty in the whole world. People will be dying. Do you know anybody who needs money? No, I took them already. You know? There'll be this big, huge chain reaction. And the whole attitude of the world will change. People will be standing in line to help people. You see what I mean? When you go to the old lady's house, to prevent it from becoming a selfish action, you must keep that in mind. I'm starting a revolution. We did this talk in Bulgaria. They were like, ha-ha, revolution! You know, they were like, we can have another revolution. I said, you got it. They were all excited. Like, now we can have another revolution. The communist one didn't work so good. And you got to think like that. When you go to the old lady, think, I am potentially helping thousands of people by being a successful example. Okay? I am potentially helping thousands of people by being the first in a chain reaction. My being happy will make other people happy. Okay? That's kind of weird thinking, right? The only way you can make other people happy is if you're happy. It's kind of arrogant to say, I'm going to make you happy when you're miserable. Right? So I'm going to make everyone happy by being happy. And then people will ask me how I did it. And I'll tell them. So that motivation has to be there. Then the boy is just this beautiful, happy person. Unselfish person. Kind person who wants to help the whole world. Probably like Spider-Man or something. Really. We were in the prison and we were like, how do we get these guys turned on about Bodhisattva? We didn't use the word Bodhisattva, we used Spider-Man. Then they're all like, yeah, I want to be Spider-Man. So, anyway, you got to be careful not to make it selfish. Think, I'm helping the whole world. I'm setting an example that will be copied by possibly thousands of people. Then while you're helping the old lady, you have to think that. Otherwise, it all gets messed up. It all gets screwed up and it becomes selfish. And it's not nice. Okay, so you have to keep that in mind. Cool? All right, we'll continue tomorrow.